Well, let me tell you, we have a special treat tonight, and I got also admit that I twisted her arm a lot. Because I look forward to hearing what her thoughts are. She is absolutely a delight, this lady. And you know what she does? I admire her for many reasons, but one of the big reasons that I admire her is she teaches teachers to be teachers. We need someone in that position that is going to teach our teachers to be teachers in a loving manner with our children. Teach them to have dreams of helping all those children out there become wonderful people to inherit this earth plane and help the earth plane school become a place of learning for all the souls that walk down here to start their spiritual journey to eternity. This young lady, everybody in class loves her. I guarantee you, before she finishes tonight, they're each one going to be in love with her. It's our Nancy. It's our Nancy. And hopefully I got those turned on right.
Thank you. I am very happy to be able to speak here tonight. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm really surprised. Well, thank you, first of all, Millie. And she did twist my arm, but who can say no to Millie? I don't know if there's anyone in this room who can. She's pretty amazing. And one of the reasons why I agreed to speak tonight, one of the things that I'm really surprised about is how nervous I am. I'm looking around. And I think that's a really good thing. I'm surprised I'm nervous simply because I teach for a living, and so I speak in front of people all the time. And so what I realized is that what is really different about tonight is that it's really the first time for me that I get to speak about God publicly. You know, I've come a long way in the last 2 years, and I've always had faith, and I've always believed in God, but I would have never thought that I would be in a church talking about God to people. And so I think that's why I'm nervous, so just bear with me. And so as I was planning, you know, my topic for tonight, you know, I see Dennis over here, and I've heard Dennis speak several times, and he's always very funny and very witty, and I thought, how am I going to match that? And then Barbara in church, and she made me cry, and I'm like, how am I going to match that? And then I just thought, you know, what I really need to talk about is how I've come to be to where I am today, how I'm standing in front of you today and talking about how God acts and manifests in my life, and how I've gotten to the path of knowing that I know, you know, Millie's little saying. So I'm going to have to weave this little web, and if you get lost, just know that I'll bring it back around in the end. But I have to start with coming to Millie's class. I came to Tuesday night class 2 years ago, and I got two separate emails from two friends. One said that Millie had done a reading for her like 10 years ago, and she got an email from Millie about this class. And then she said, I think we should check it out. I really don't know what it's about, but it'll be really interesting, you know? And then I got another email from another girlfriend, completely separate, who said, you know, I went to one of these classes last year, and I thought it was great, and I think we should, you know, we should go. And I kind of put two and two together and actually came up with four, and it was the same class. And so I show up on Tuesday night with my two girlfriends, you know, in Millie's class, and it was quite an experience. And the irony of it is that those two friends who brought me there never came back again. Well, one came a few times, the other one didn't come back, and she thought it was too much and she couldn't do it. And with hindsight, I realized that really their job was to get me there. It wasn't about whether or not they would be there. It was about me finding Millie, finding the church, finding this community. And then their job was done, and then they could go. And so I started to think about that over the years, and I think about these 2 years and what this class has meant to me and the things that I've learned. And so what I asked for a couple weeks ago in our class was, you know, I want to know when God is acting in my life. And we always do these God stories, as you know, and I never can think of a God story. And I know God's there, but I can never think of one that I think is worthy of sharing. And so I had asked, I said, you know what, let me know when God is in my life and when God is working. And I'll come back to that. But so what one of the things I decided to do in asking is also to look back and to say, you know, this cannot be a new phenomenon. God is not acting in my life today for the first time, and I'm aware of it. And looking back to other experiences in my life that kind of led me to where I was. And then I realized one of the things, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but it's pertinent, because one of the things, you know, that the language I use is I would call it a coincidence, you know, or synchronistic. But I would never call it God, because that was uncomfortable for me. And I think it's really amazing how we make ourselves comfortable by calling something else. So, like, when I grew up, my mom was Janice because I was really mad at her. But, you know, she's still your mom, right? So God was the universe, you know, and the spirit and all this, but I could never really grasp calling God, God. Because there was something that was kind of innate in me that just made me feel uncomfortable, especially being public with that. So I learned a lot in these 2 years, because the fact that I'm up here saying God, 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 and feeling comfortable about doing that in front of people. And this is part of what Millie and the class and the church has really offered me and brought to me in these last 2 years. So I digress, so I'm going to get back. So I started looking back in my life and how God has worked in my life. And I started thinking about, I'm an identical twin. And, you know, people think that's cute. And when we dress alike, I'm sure it probably was when we were really, really little. But when you're 9 and you're still dressing alike, it's not that cute. And thus I grew up really having an issue with being an identical twin. Because I wanted my own identity. And I was tired of being Dora's sister. Or why aren't you good at math? Because Dora's really good at math. Or Dora does that. And I'm like, well, I'm not Dora. You know, it's one of those things. And so she was a basketball player. I was a volleyball player. And I got a scholarship to go to San Diego State. So I went down to San Diego State to register for my classes. And I was walking down, you know, kind of looking at the campus. And this girl came up to me. She says, Dora, I can't believe you're here. And I said, I'm not Dora, I'm her sister, you know, and I did the little spiel. And then I turned down my scholarship and I went to Arizona. And that's funny, isn't it? And so I'm in Arizona and it's hot and we're running at 6 in the morning because it's already 90 degrees. And we're there in August, preseason, and then school starts. And I'm walking down, going to class, and someone says, Dora! And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Because I'm already here, you know, and there's nothing I can do now. So, you know, I play volleyball for 1 year. It's an interesting experience. Arizona in 84, Central Arizona, was extremely racist. And I got to learn a lot about myself, and I realized that growing up in West Hollywood was a privilege for many reasons. But I was determined to get out of there. And so I took some classes and I decided I was going to come back and go to JC because I didn't think I would be able to get a scholarship because I walked out of one of the top programs in the country. And a girlfriend of mine came up and she says, there's a scholarship at this school called the USIU in San Diego. And she goes, and they've got 12 volleyball scholarships. And I was like, well, how did you know? She goes, well, I'm a basketball player. And I asked for basketball information, but they sent me volleyball information. So I call the coach and I say, I'm going to be out there. I have a tryout and I get the scholarship. And so I end up in San Diego. And that really was the beginning and a turning point in my life because I'm one of those people that if you talk to people in the volleyball world, they might say, well, she could have been an Olympian. She could have been this. And I realized that wasn't my destiny. That I went to USIU, which is a small school, here in San Diego, private school, and it shaped and changed my life. And because of that experience, I got to travel around the world, and I really am the person I am today because of the people I know and have met from that experience. So I look at that and I think, you know, that is a miracle. That's God acting in my life, because I could have done something else that might have seemed like it was the best thing for me to do, but really the best thing to do was to end up where I was. And I wouldn't have done that had I not got really tired of people calling me Dora. So the second part of this story. I graduated in 1988 and I decided to move to England. And I'm doing my master's in psychology. And so I sell everything I own and I take my two bags and I go to the UK. And I show up at the door and I say, I'm here and I'm ready. And they're like, what program are you in? I'm like, I'm in the psychology program. They're like, we don't have a psychology program. And I'm like, I've got an acceptance letter that says psychology. And they're like, well, we dropped the program because there weren't enough people in it. And we just forgot to tell you. So I'm like, well, you know, so what do? You sell your car, you don't have an apartment, everything you own is in two bags, and I have no money. So I said, well, what can you offer me? Because I'm here. And they're like, well, you can do an MBA, or you can do a master's in education. And we'll pay for the first year, because you're here. So I do a master's in education because it was close enough to psychology and it meant that I didn't have to work right away, which is really exciting for me. So I'm taking these courses and I'm teaching and I start playing volleyball in England. And I happen to be on the cover of a magazine. And a coach from Europe happens to see this cover and is like, is this you? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. He says, how would you like to come to Belgium and play professionally for a year and just see how you like it? So I'm like, that's great. So I go to Belgium. And that's not the exciting part. The exciting part is that while I'm there, and I'm a professional athlete, which means I really have a lot of free time on my hands, and all I'm doing is training, there's a military base there. And they're looking, it has to be an American because it's a base, and they're looking for a substitute teacher. Now, I still don't think I'm going to be a teacher. And I decide, but it's dollars, it's extra money, I get to put it away, I get to do this. So I go to the base and I start subbing. And I realize this is kind of cool. You know, I kind of like this. This is not bad. But I still don't think I'm going to be a teacher. I'm just making some extra money and keeping myself busy. So long story short, I play pro volleyball. I go back to England. I finish my master's. I come home and I work in childcare work here in San Diego. And I meet this guy. There's always a guy. I meet this guy in Lake Tahoe, and we start dating, and we can't imagine not having time together, and he works swing shift, and I work swing shift, and he says, well, I'm going to school at night in National to be a teacher. Why don't you take some classes? So I'm like, okay. Don't you do that? And it's like, okay, let's take some classes together, because I've got a master's in education, and I might as well have a credential. Who knows? And so I do my credential with him. We break up, but I finish the credential because I'm all about completion. And I'm working in this childcare facility, New Alternatives in Hillcrest, and they have a school there. And the school serves at-risk kids who have been taken out of their homes by CPS. And they have to, you know, they do the juvenile court system, they do the group homes, they do alternative sites for kids that are on probation. And I make a connection with one of the women there, and she's like, you would be a great teacher. And I still don't think I'm going to be a teacher. And I'm like, well, how much money do you pay? Because right now I'm making $7.25 an hour, and I'm busting my butt. And she's like, oh, you'll make a lot more than $7.25 an hour. She's like, do you have a credential? I say, yes. And so I become a teacher. And I think back again. So I'm analyzing. Remember, I'm on this tangent, but I'm going back. It's like, how does God act in my life, right? And all these times that he has acted in my life, I didn't realize that it was God really pushing me in my direction. So I teach for 10 years, and I travel a lot. That's a passion that I gained. And I take a trip to New Zealand for 6 weeks, and I come back, and on my desk there's this application. And it's an application for a distinguished teacher in residence at Cal State San Marcos. And I'm sorry, baby. it's a shorter story. It'll get shorter. I'm almost done. It's an application, and I look at it, and the deadline is literally the day I got back. And so I throw it in the trash. And I'm teaching my students, and we're going all day, and I just keep, this thing is going in my head. It's like, take it out of the trash, take it out of the trash, take it out of the trash. And it's one of those things that is so insidious that you have to pay attention. So I go and I take it out of the trash and I slap it on the table and then I go back and teach. Now I can teach because I'm not being bothered anymore by a little thing in my head. And so at the end of the day, I sit down and I decide, I'm going to call and find out what's going on because this voice is telling me to take it out of the trash. So I call and they're like, you know what? Because it was so close to the new year, we decided to extend it for another 2 weeks. So I look and I'm like, okay, I got to do something. So I say, well, if everyone can get me these letter of recommendations, if I can write these essays, and if I can drop them off, then it's meant to be. And literally, in 1 week, everyone did all those things. All my transcripts came through from all the different schools that I went to, and I dropped it off, and I knew that moment I had the job. I didn't even know have to go through the interview, because in my head I know that if things go that smoothly, then it is meant to be. And I think that's when I kind of started getting that understanding about how God works. So I got the job. I did it for 2 years. And then I went full time. I finished my doctorate. And now I teach at Cal State San Marcos. So I've been there for about 4 years. And I realize it's not what I want to do. But it's all part of the plan. And so I decide that I'm going to move back to England. And I decided to put my house on the market in October. And everyone's telling me what a bad time this is to sell your house. And I'm like, you know what? If God wants me to be there, and I think this is right, my house is going to sell. And my house sold. And I was going to quit my job. And everyone said, you're crazy for quitting your job because it's a tenure track position. They're hard to come by. And I go to find out what I have to do to resign. And the guy says, you know, you've worked a lot of units. You might want to talk to your dean and see about a leave of absence and just see if you really need to resign. So I go talk to my dean and he says, we want you here, so take a year and go. And so this brings me full circle to this notion of, you know, we need to ask for what we want. And if it goes, I mean, it seems difficult. There's different things that will seem difficult in our path that we go by. But in the end, it shouldn't be a struggle. And I really believe that part of my blessing has been to go with the flow. Things happen. I can get angry. I can scream. I could rebel. I could have taken my bags and sued the school and gone back to California and not be in the situation that I am right now. But instead, you know, I think somewhere in there I already knew that there was a higher power operating on my behalf, and all I had to do was to have faith and be confident that I was going to be taken care of. And when I let myself go, everything happened the way it was supposed to be. And I can't imagine my life any different than it is right now and doing the things that I'm doing. So there's a couple things that I've learned. That God has always been present in my life. And I don't know that I knew that. And I look back, I've just given you kind of a really quick 20-year look at my life, but I can look back even further and see how God has operated. That if you really want something, that it should not be a struggle, that if it's right for you. If it's right for you, it should happen, not necessarily effortlessly, but things should fall into place. And that we have to recognize that when it seems, you know, it's an old cliche, when the door closed, God opens a window, that really is the truth. And that when we're disappointed because we didn't get exactly what we were looking for, that really there's a higher plan and a higher power at work, and that we've got to be okay with it. And then, to quote Mick Jagger, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And that is no more pertinent than it is in my life today. That I wanted all these different things. And really, none of the things when I was 11 and 12 talking about what I was going to do and what I was going to be, none of them manifested. But I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. So with that, and then to bring it back, I can't believe I just sat up here and talked to you guys about God. And I'm really honored to have had the opportunity and the privilege to do so to know Millie, to know all of you, and to kind of share what I believe is my God story. So, thank you.